Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than spurning God. The number to call in is 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you're listening to one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser. Type davincomedy.com. Go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom. Click on that and then click chat and go. I'm your host, Davin Rosemont, and I am joined by Joe Curry.
Good evening. How's everybody doing?
We're good, Joe. Well, Pip's not well. She couldn't be with us tonight.
Yeah, the poor thing. No, I'll be manning the chat tonight. So, as always, please bear with me.
Yes. Yes. You might not get all the attention in the Den Pen that you're accustomed to from Pip Helix, but we will certainly try to check in with you as time permits. Isn't that right, Joe?
That is correct, yes.
All right. I guess the first thing we should do is we got a little contest going. I kind of announced it on Facebook. Last week, I revealed to everybody that we found the picture of a young Belinda and a young Mavis with a fakakta wig, maybe going to the prom. I don't know what it was. But we found a picture of them, and I posted it on the Davin's Den Facebook page. And it's a very colorful picture. And what I said was whoever creates the best meme, and actually Pip on one of the posts had put a meme generator and everything, whoever creates the best meme for that, we will give a free copy of the soon to be released, not yet released, Davin's Den Best of CD. Is an hour's worth of stuff on there, a lot of good stuff, stuff you guys haven't heard for a long time, and some of you people have never heard. So all you gotta do is create a funny meme, and that will go till right before our live show. So
now do me a favor, just explain what a meme is, because I did not know what one was. Partly my ignorance was explained to me, but just so the fans know, just explain what a meme is.
You know, you see that like the grumpy cat pictures on Facebook, that's a meme where it's like a picture of something and somebody writes some funny words and everything, and there's meme generators. That's called a meme. So, like, if somebody had a picture, if we posted a picture of you, Joe, they could go to a meme generator and write something funny.
I'm sure they would.
Exactly. And it would show up on the picture.
Right, right, right.
So that's what it is. So a couple people made some funny comments as it was, like scary-looking clowns or ugly-looking clowns.
Right, right, right.
But, yeah, so you just create a meme. There's ways to do it, meme generators. I've actually never done it myself. But, yeah, the CD's coming out. It's actually getting made up right now, getting produced right now. It's going to be really good. I heard the master of it. So you guys can get a free copy. All you got to do is participate. As always, we love to give you free stuff. Got a lot of stuff on tonight's show. We're going to be talking about a Hasidic hottie posing with some religious paraphernalia, then got into a car accident. The Hasidic said, that's God's fault. He did that to her. We also found a teen in Pennsylvania found a picture of Jesus on his knees, a statue of Jesus on his knees, and decided to put himself in front of it and pretend that Jesus was giving him oral treats.
Yes.
So he's facing some punishment, so we'll talk about that. You know, there's only so much you and I can discuss about this. Maybe a higher power will call in or something.
we pray.
We certainly do pray. We certainly do pray. So we hope for the best of that. We also got, this was kind of big a couple of weeks ago, when we went over the documents from Ann Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Got some more documents, some bank documents from Ann Jackson that was sent to her from her quote-unquote officials. So we'll go we'll go over that so you guys can be wary of what to look for and if these are real or not real. And, you know, some of us said my relationship with my girlfriend Belinda might be over. Might be a DOA.
Don't know if it's over, but it's kind of challenging now. It's a lot more challenging than it was.
No, some of the fans gave me till midnight that night when it's over. There is no faith that I can keep this going. So we'll see. We'll see if this is indeed goodbye, if I can string this out, if I can rewrite the course. We'll certainly check in with that. So we got a big show planned for you for tonight. Now, Joe, I'm sure you're aware of this story. I wasn't initially going to talk about it, but it's been something that's bothered me. It's bothered me for quite some time because of what I see in the comedy clubs. You know who Adrian Peterson is, right, Joe?
Yes.
He's a great running back for the Minnesota Vikings. So pictures came out of scarring damage that he did to his 4-year-old son as he was, quote-unquote, disciplining him.
Mm-hmm.
He took a switch, which is like a branch from a tree, and beat him with the switch, again, disciplining him on his bare skin, and I guess the switch wrapped around and actually caused damage to his scrotum.
Mm-hmm.
So he was deactivated by the Minnesota Vikings for one game. He's right. active for this week. It turns out he has another child, and there was a complaint filed by the child's mother that he had caused injury to this young child, head injury, a bump or some sort.
Right.
And Radisson Hotels actually said that they are going to suspend relations with the Minnesota Vikings until this is cleared up. Minnesota Vikings have said, well, we're going to let due process go. And now, the reason why this is always in my mind is because you and I are in comedy clubs every week, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And as sure enough as let's give it up for the troops, we can count on hearing who here beats your kid.
Right.
Or who here was beat as a child. And it's overwhelmingly a positive response. Like, woo! Yeah! Like, it's either a rite of passage or beating your kids. It's just some nostalgic thing that we just should do more of.
We all got it. I mean, yeah, I'm guilty of doing one of those jokes. I talk about getting beaten with the spatula.
Yeah!
And then I ask people how many people with the spatula. And as soon as I say that, people go, will yell out to me, wooden spoon, and people, you know, and I go, how many people with a wooden spoon? A lot of people got beat with a lot of things. My mom used to beat me with a strap. And if I hid the strap, I would get five more lashings because I hid the strap.
Well, I mean, you're just trying to save your ass.
Yeah, apparently, you know, I'd have to fess up. My mother wasn't stupid. Where is it? Where is it? I don't know. Where is it? Is it a gutter? And then I would get five extra lashes behind the strap.
Since times have changed.
Mm.
Times have changed. I mean, you're not allowed to hit your wife.
Right.
Or your husband.
Right.
That's domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to hit a complete stranger. That's assault.
Mm.
The only people you are allowed to hit are your kids. You can't hit somebody else's kids. Yeah, even a teacher, which used to be allowed to, you know, they say the nuns rapping you on the knuckles with the ruler.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore. And I think that's a good thing, to be honest with you. Although some would, Adrian Peterson, argue, well, it's a cultural thing. And it is more prevalent in the South. And, you know, listen, I think it's one thing, and I'm not a fan of it. I think it's one thing with your hand
mm-hmm.
to discipline a child on their bottom, right. And I'm not a fan of that either.
Right.
I think it's a lot more to take what essentially becomes a weapon, whether it be the spatula you were talking about, or a switch that Adrian mm-hmm. Peterson was, or a belt, whatever it is, and use that against your child. I mean, because that is more than doing that is more than quote unquote teaching a lesson. That's doing damage.
Well, the whole bottom line of it is to stop you and know the ramifications of your actions. If you do this, you're going to get beat.
But isn't that saying the only way when all else fails, because I as a parent cannot communicate with you or have stopped trying to communicate with you, that violence is acceptable.
Now, I do not agree. I do not. Now, I explained the theory behind it, and I don't agree with it. Now, what I said is you. If you do this, I'm going to do this to you, and you're going to. This action is going to make you from stop doing whatever you're
doing.
It's
to scare you,
right? Now, I have my wife, ex-wife, whatever she is.
What is she this week, Joe?
She's going to soon to be ex-wife. But anyway, she has some friends that really nice people. Now, we were out there one time, and the kid, the children were acting up, and the father goes, if you do that, you're going in the house, and you're going to write five paragraphs on what you did, how it upset us, and how you're not going to do that again.
All right, well, before we go further with that, what is acting up?
Acting up, speaking out.
No, I mean, what was going on in this particular situation?
Oh, they were being obnoxious.
Okay.
And stuff like
that. So how old were the kids?
Probably about 5 years old.
So they were being children?
They were being children. But
okay.
The thing about it is they needed to know not to do that anymore.
Right.
Now, they had to go in and write five paragraphs and explain what they had. It's almost like when you tell me to write the blog. You know,
that's worked wonders.
As a 5 year old, but here's the
that's a lot of paragraphs for a 5 year old. It is.
It is. Now, here's the theory behind that. You're not only making the child does not want to do this, and if he knows that he's got to write paragraphs every time he acts up, he's going to stop, and he's also going to realize by writing how the action happened, what he did, and how he's not going to do it again. It's genius.
The
child was not hurt. He learned a lesson. You know,
I'm actually a little surprised that you're agreeing with me on this.
Well, because you can't, you can't hit a child. I mean, like a, and it depends on the age of a child. I mean, in the Adrian Peterson case, the children were very young.
In this particular case, the son was 4 years old. And if you guys want to call in about this, number's 845-986-8804. That might be the best way to communicate with us tonight because we're a little shorthanded tonight. But the number's 845-986-8804. We're talking about taking a weapon to a 4 year old.
Yes.
In my mind, there's no justification for that. If it's cultural, you know what else is cultural? Female circumcision.
Yeah,
that's a cultural thing. Or stoning somebody for adultery. That's also cultural. But we don't accept that in our country because it's violence.
Right.
And we're trying to evolve as a civilization.
Right. I think, like I said, I don't agree with the violence, but there has to be a way because the children that grow up now just don't have any respect for parents. Now, I'm not saying beat them, but there has to be like my wife's friends, figured an ingenious way to do that. But, you know, they have to learn respect. At 4 years old, they're just kids. You can't do it. It's wrong.
Oh, the phone.
No.
Pick it up, Joe. Hello, welcome to Davin's Den.
Hey, Davin, it's Lisa.
Hey, Lisa, how are you?
Hi, Lisa.
I'm good. I just wanted to chime in on this.
Okay.
I totally disagree with them beating children.
Okay.
You don't get to beat animals.
That's true.
Why is it okay to beat your kids?
Well, like I said, they say it's a cultural thing. I don't think it's okay to beat your children. I think what you're pretty much saying as a parent is, I have no solutions, I can't communicate with you, and I can't teach you a lesson. The only lesson I can teach you is fear. That being said, I must say there was one time where I spanked my child. Now, she was young at the time. She was fully clothed. I didn't pull down her pants. It was in public. But she ran into the street, or the parking lot, I don't remember into traffic, and she had been repeatedly told not to do that in the past. And the reason she was spanked that time, again, not hard where my hand is hurting or her butt is red, but where she cried because it was so startling to her was because that hurts her. Because running into the street can get you killed. So in my mind, if you're doing something that is absolutely dangerous to you, then because this is so out of the ordinary, I will administer this punishment because all the other times you stopped listening. And you know what? She didn't run to the street
anymore. Also in the context of the situation, your reaction to that was this precious thing in my life that I love more than anything else in the world is running out into traffic. And I think that you reacted not with a sense of teaching a lesson with a violence, but you just wanted this thing that you love more than anything else in the world to know you can't do that.
And yeah, it was fear.
You reacted out of a fear thing where you got her, you love her, and you gave her a whack in the bottom. Don't do that. I love you more than anything else in the world.
Or as I say to her all the time, I go, you're no good to me dead. I tell her that all the time. I go, you're no good to me dead.
No.
that's why you got to look across. So and literally, I grabbed her with one hand as she was running and a SWAT on the other. Lisa, were you ever disciplined with, for lack of a better word, a weapon?
My father was in favor of corporal punishment.
Okay.
I got beaten with a wooden spoon. I got beaten with the belt. I would never do that to my kids, ever.
Do you feel...
Torture is not a way to resolve an issue like that.
Did he ever explain to you when you were older why he did that?
He's actually in the box in my garage.
Your father's in the box in your garage?
He's dead.
Well,
he's been cremated for 10 years.
Well, that's a little harsh thing to get back at your dad, don't you think?
Live a life now, you know, on the shelf next to the carton of Miracle-Gro.
Where's Dad? Right next to the WD-40.
I'm spending eternity, really?
I guess you got the last laugh. Now he's getting carbon monoxide poisoning in the afterlife. You showed him, Lisa.
Listen, what you did was to protect your daughter. It was out of fear for her safety.
Yes.
You wouldn't have done it. You wouldn't have, like, grabbed her by the arms and beat her in a mall.
No,
protect her.
No, I mean, I've never... That's the only time she's ever been physically smacked. My daughter is so afraid, and I don't know why, but she's always been like very afraid of disappointing me or her mother. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. And we're like, it's not like we beat you. What is the problem? And everything.
Maybe you're taking the right steps as a parent to make her right, go in the right direction.
I guess. I mean, because she did something the other day. I don't remember what it was. Oh, she got caught taking a bag of taking some Doritos for breakfast instead of asking mommy or daddy or something or helping herself to some cereal. So my wife catches it because she's not a good sneak, the daughter, and everything. And she's like, well, why didn't you ask? And she just, like, bursts, and she's like, don't tell Daddy, I don't want him to yell at me. First of all, I don't think I yell that much.
You do.
Then why don't you burst into tears when you're naughty?
I have.
Then I'm doing something right with you too, Joe. But it's kind of interesting. You could still instill that, for lack of a better word, that fear, but you replace it with disappointment and letting your loved ones down with violence.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know what? Fear is not a bad thing, but corporal punishment is not the way to instill fear in your children.
Well, here's the way it's changed over the years. I was talking to my aunt one day, and she mentioned that one of the grandchildren said a bad word. And my aunt goes, and I told her, you can't say that. That is a very, very naughty word. Now, this same woman, I said that word at that age that this little girl was, and I got my mouth washed out with soap. She told my mom. My mom beat it up.
You know, I got washed out. I had my mouth washed out with soap. I was smacked.
But the funny thing is, I told my aunt, I go, you washed my mouth out with soap and told my mom. She goes, well, you can't do stuff like that now. You'll go to jail.
And your mouth had never been cleaner.
Never been cleaner.
I can't even imagine getting my daughter to hold still enough to, like, stick some Irish Spring in her mouth.
But it just seems barbaric.
It does.
To do something like that
it
to a child.
It does.
Now.
All right, Lisa, we're going to let you go. Thank you for calling
Take care,
in.
Sweetie. Thanks so much.
Joe, you're completely right. It is barbaric, and we don't get to beat our animals, so why do we get to beat children?
You can only beat co-hosts on the radio. That's the only ones you're allowed to beat.
That's right.
All right, thanks, Lisa.
All right, take care, Lisa. Oops. Sorry, Lisa, I didn't
that's
cut
right.
you off. I'm
that's,
sorry.
That's all right. that's another like-minded person. Now, you know, I started this conversation by talking about the comedy clubs, and mm-hmm. we've all seen it,
right.
And it's in your act, too,
yeah.
Where they all hoot and holler and everything. And in my mind, you're going to hoot and holler for what I call child abuse. Either way, there's contact. But you're going to complain to somebody about you're going to complain to the comic or the management about a subject matter or a word they said. In my mind, if you're going to hoot and holler for hitting somebody, then you can't say you're offended by my dick joke. Joe?
That would be... It was in the context of hooting and hollering over beating your kids. That's almost like a mob mentality. We'd be, you beat, you know.
But isn't that even more disturbing? That there's nobody going, hey, wait a minute, no, that's not cool. Nobody ever stands up and go, I don't like that, Mr. Comedian. Nobody, even if somebody has Lisa's approach or our approach where, you know, you can't hit your animals, so why can't you hit your kids? Nobody ever stands up and go, hey, why are we clapping for this?
Because everybody is a human instinct. You can't hit your kids. It's wrong to hit your kids, okay? But in the context of sitting there and commiserating with other adults and parents, to sit there and in a safe situation and go, you got to beat your kids, and you're like, oh, God, would I love to.
But you're saying you can't hit your kids. When in reality, a lot of people think you can, and those people are in the audience, you know, completely supporting a good ass whooping.
But here is the deal. In a context of a comedy club, and when you watch a comic says things in a situation that you would love to do, but you can't do due to norms of society, due to laws. And what a comic does is takes it to the point and speaks out on, boy, would I like to do this. Just think, because sometimes children can be aggravating, but you know
sometimes.
It's right, you can't. But you know it can be aggravating. But what the comic does in a safe situation lets you get that aggression. That's why you go to see a comedy club, to let aggression out. So when he says it in a group context, oh, you got to be, I hear you. Oh.
But
he doesn't go home and tell you to start wailing them.
But why can't you do the same thing? Because wives or husbands are aggravating. You got to beat your spouse. Why doesn't anybody say that? Because sometimes you, especially you,
sometimes they do. I used to do a joke. You can't beat women because there's laws.
I love
and
that
they
joke.
Laws. They used to get laughed. But you can't.
But people would turn on you on that. That was like your edgiest joke. That was your edgiest joke, and I loved that joke, and I still love that joke. It's one of the jokes of yours that I remember, and people will complain to you about that joke, but it's the same thing. But I've never heard anybody come up to you after a show or get a mixed reaction on the children thing.
On a, well, it Because, like I said, once again, if somebody came up to me and said, you know, you do the thing about, you know, you want to beat your wife. Yeah, everybody wants to just slug their spouse one time. But you don't do it. It's wrong. But in the safety of a comedy club where you're talking about it hypothetically, it's fun to laugh
but
at.
But why do they people feel like it's okay to stick up for your spouse and complain to you or management after the show or groan at that joke? Because that you don't do that joke anymore because it gets a mixed reaction. I know you.
Here's the right and the wrong. You have the right to groan at the joke, but you don't have a right to talk to management about it.
But what I'm saying is the beating the children never gets a groan. That is always a very positive response.
Because it's a different thing. If you went up there and you beat a child, it would be certainly a different reaction than talking about, oh, you got, well, you got to beat
your
kid. But
in both cases, it's talking about beating somebody. In both cases, you're talking about beating somebody. In one case, it's like you can't beat your wife because there's laws. And I've seen that joke get a groan, and you don't do that joke anymore because it's a mixed reaction.
I'm going to do that joke anyway because I'm getting divorced. But,
but no. But you stopped long ago because it's, right. It's a mixed reaction.
No, I never did. I never did that because of a mixed reaction. I don't do that. I mean, I do a lot of political stuff. I do stuff about the N-word now.
But you play to the base. I mean, you're pretty much saying when we promote our comedy tour, Joe says all the things you wish you could say.
Yeah,
which you do in your act. So that's pretty much got the most of the people behind you. I say the things you can't believe anybody would say.
Right. So you know, in that context, it's just it's an act out because people in his instances there are people I wish I could hit this kid. I wish I could just beat his ass. He won't stop. He's rude, but I can't. So you have that aggression. Now, when you go to a club in a safe instance, and your wife, that stupid bitch, God damn it. Yeah. But when you get to the kid, when somebody goes, oh, you got to beat your kid. Oh, I hear you, bro. I wish I could.
You know why? You know, I think it's different. I think because it was allowed when we were growing up to hit kids. And in our generation, the generation before us, in our generation, it was not allowed to hit your spouse. So I think there's a lot of, well, it was good enough for me, it's good enough for them.
Yeah, but sometimes you know things are wrong. I'll give you an example. With spousal abuse, okay? You know my temper. I have a very bad temper, okay?
Sure.
Now, Joanna's always been worried. I hope you would never do anything to me. I go, I would not lay a finger on you. I go, dishes have been broken.
Because there's fingerprints.
Dishes have been broken in lieu of you, but I would never lay a finger. And do you know why I would never lay a finger on a woman? I watched my father, but when I was a kid, my father broke my mother's nose.
You saw that?
No, I was like about maybe two.
But I didn't know that about him.
I watched my one time, my mother cooked macaroni and cheese, and for some reason, my father didn't like the way it tasted, and there was this big fight, and I watched my father hold my mother down, yelling at her, and I'm watching this at five. And at five, I'm like, man, this is wrong.
Right.
And it just left. So much so, when I used to have macaroni and cheese, I used to get the heebie-jeebies. So when you get whacked on the ass and stuff like that, you know, you got a red ass and stuff like that, you dealt with it. You knew whether you were doing it. It was wrong. But when you watch your parents, your father hold your mother down and see that, I mean, I'm right sitting right now talking about it, I feel so hurt about that. It's wrong, man, and you know, and...
Then why isn't it wrong? Then why don't people... I agree with you, it's absolutely wrong. Why isn't it so wrong to hold down a young, small child? Why do some people think it's not wrong?
Because it's a cultural thing, and sometimes it's just if you don't think proactively... if you just think old school and you don't think in nonviolent terms, well, he's got to learn. You have to be creative on how you discipline a child. I'm not a parent, but I know right from when you can't hit a 4-year-old with a tree branch. It's wrong. There's other ways to discipline a child.
See, that's so premeditated to take a weapon. That's even more than losing your cool. You know, let's say, all right, now not only am I so upset at you, I'm taking the time to get, or make you get, the weapon of choice.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's barbaric.
It was the way our parents were raised. Our parents were raised in a different time. We were on that thing. Our parents grew up in a very, very rough time. They grew up during the Depression. There was a world war, you know.
So you beat the ones who can't defend
but
themselves?
They just were in a more uncivilized way, a more violent way, than we were. Now, you got to understand something. When did the tide change? When kids started dying. When did the tide change? When we started going, hey, when we started having kids and going, you know what, man? I've got beaten with a spoon, a whip. There was one guy, we discussed this on Opie and Anthony when they were up in Boston. Some guy's father was a barber and beat him. You know that barber strap? You go to a barber, it's like the shaving strap. The shaving strap. The guy's father was a barber and beat them with a shaving strap.
That's crazy.
So it took our generation to realize that this is wrong.
But it's not. But that's the thing. It's not our generation. Adrian Peterson's younger than us.
But it's that culture. He could be in a culture. What is it, from the South?
I think he's from the South.
There is a culture down South that it is still a norm.
So let me ask
to beat your kids.
Let me ask you, knowing that in the South is a culture to do that, would you give pause and refrain from doing that, your joke about beating your kids, because you know there's more of a chance there's some?
Because I would still do it because
you're a whore.
No, because you have to give the audience a lot more credit than they're, you know, do. You can't just go in there and go, oh, they're all just a bunch of child-beating idiots.
You just said in the South there's a culture of it. So
there is a culture of it. I'm not saying that there's a culture of it, but I'm not saying in the club, in that area,
people go,
it's a whole culture.
All sorts of, all walks of life come to comedy club.
And that's what I'm saying. All sorts of, all walks of life. So you can't discriminate your audience because there might be two yahoos that beat your kids, but meanwhile, everybody else, the other 230 people in the club, are educated and well-thought. You can't go in with that assumption.
I just think it sends. I've never been a fan. Not of the necessary. Some of the jokes are funny, but fine. I've never been a fan of the mob mentality of violence. First of all, never a fan of that. But violence towards the ones who can't defend themselves. I've never been a fan of that.
I think it, but it's different. Going, you got to beat your kids. You got to beat your kids, okay? Instead of saying, you got to go out right now and beat your kids.
What's the difference?
The difference is that the one thing you're saying is, you know, you got to beat your kid. You're just speaking off the top of your head. You know, oh, you got to beat your kid.
It's not off the top of that. Most people know the comics are,
but it's
rehearsed.
Not, you're not telling them.
But
to
you're glamorizing the beatings.
And people know that it's wrong.
They don't. They look up to us. They don't know.
Believe me, you're giving the audience the credit that they deserve.
Have you spoken to the audience?
But I'm telling you right now, when you got to beat your kid. Everybody knows that in some instances they would love to beat their kids, but they can't. It's against the law. It's wrong. But when you're in a comedy,
it's not against the law.
But all right, so I'm wrong in that context. But you can't. But it is wrong. Now you're in the context.
People don't look at it as wrong.
You can't sit there and take a survey of everybody as they're walking into the club.
I think you're giving the audience too much credit.
So do you think if you go up there and go, man, you got to beat your kids. Do you think how many people out of that audience are going to go home and beat their children on the merits of what you said that night?
I don't think they're going to beat their children on the merits of
children.
I don't think they're going to beat their children on the merits, but I do think in the back of their head they see the response that gets with the hooting and hollering of, I'll say, 90% of the club, and go, okay. Everybody does this. It's okay.
But I think it's more of everybody's been in that situation where they would love to, but they can't because it's morally wrong. And because it's a comedy club where you were in a situation where it's not a seminar. It's not you could let your aggressions out. It's letting your aggressions out. And your aggression is, I would like to beat this kid, but I can't do it. So when somebody says that, you let your aggression out through laughter. That's more of a positive way to do it. You got to be, oh.
Listen, I'm never one to censor a comic or say, hey, you can't do that. It offends me. I'm certainly not that guy. That being said, I think it sends the wrong message. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you that. I think it reflects a lot on society where for a lot of comics, that's one of their biggest laughs and reactions in their set.
I understand
set.
That. People commiserate because it's something that they would like to do, but morally they can't. And also, people know that when a comic goes on stage, it's in a comedy club. There's a happy and sad sign up there. It's farce. Comedy
but
is
people,
farce.
Well,
you're talking
that was,
out of farce.
If that was the case, nobody would ever complain to the comic or management that he said something I don't like.
Because sometimes when it's more of a mob mentality, some people feel would in that kind of context, it would be, you know, you'd feel kind of like out of the crowd to speak up. there are people, and you, and Devin, you know this. You do a show. There is 250 people that are having a great time, but there's one person with a problem. I mean, when I do that the joke about the word retard, I've never had a problem with it except for one time when one person said, you know, I don't like him the way he says retard about, and with not even disregarding how I explained why the word needs to be used. So people hear what they want to hear, you know, and that's a minority.
Listen, let me ask you a question. Since you personally are against hitting children,
mm-hmm.
you've said that. Do you have a responsibility, or should you somewhere in that joke say, after you do all the ha-has and get the laughs, and all, it's a big joke for you, and get all the laughs, do you have a responsibility then to have another joke, or simply say, but I think it's wrong to hit children?
It depends on how deep I am getting into the subject matter. If it's just a blame, oh, you gotta hit your kids. Yeah.
You got a whole bit about it.
And when I do that, I go into it and say, but they made us tough. They made us
tough. But you said yourself it doesn't make you tough. I mean, you pretty much said,
because I'm a comic and I'm working in a farcical situation.
Right, but as a comic, you know, the core at some point is to be more true to ourselves. That's what a lot of your newer material is. You've written a lot for people that haven't seen you in the past couple of years. You've written a lot of stuff, more personal stuff. So the joke, as we found out tonight, flies in the face of what you, Joe Curry, believe.
But fly, because it's a lot of farce, and a lot of things that I say sometimes are built on a ridiculous notion.
Anytime you talk politics.
No. No. That's next week.
Yes.
I can't. Oh, boy, liberal. But
we'll get there. I'll plug it up the end. Stupid.
But it's, I take people on a journey where some of the things I say is ridiculous in a straight sort of way. You know? I mean, when I do that joke, I go, they made us tough. And then I go, we're not making kids tough. And then I bring it into a lighter moment of waiting in the school bus and stuff like this. If I sat up there and I said, you know, when a kid talks back, they should have their teeth knocked out of their head. That's not funny, and that's not true. I don't take it in that direction. Like, if I go, well, they beat us, and we deserved it, and we should start beating our kids. I don't go into
that.
What,
but you've seen comics who do. You've seen comics who take it there.
Now, this changes the dynamic of the dynamic of it. If you go up there, let's look at the whole, let's look that statement and where it progresses to. Let's take that statement. You got to beat your kids. Yeah, boy, our parents beat us. Holy smoke. Boy, did you get, you're commiserating with the audience how they beat us. Now, if you said, oh, you got to beat your kids. Let me tell you, my kids act up. I'll smack them across the head and I'll land them on their head and they'll learn not to talk to me.
And that would get a lot of applause.
But that is wrong. That is
wrong. So that would be too much for you.
That is wrong because you're now advocating it. There's a difference between commiserating and advocating.
Would you agree the audience would hoot and holler at the latter statement that you just made?
Maybe not.
I think they would. I've seen similar thing, you know, with jokes mixed in, but more or less.
But maybe not. Now,
that sentiment.
Now, to complain against that, that's kind of silly. I mean, it's a comedy club. It's a comedy club.
Listen, I don't complain about anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm the last one where I'm going to complain about words. But for my personal taste, I'm not a fan of that. And I'm not. And for me, that laugh, that reaction you go when you got to beat your kids, is the same easy laugh as let's give it up for the troops.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. But we're discussing that. But what I'm saying is feeling wrong about it. In that context, yeah, it's commiserating as a group about something. Where you take it after that is the whole
question.
I don't
know. I just think it kind of glamorizes it because a lot of your stuff, a lot of your act is waxing nostalgic. And a lot of your feelings as a person are, and the rights feelings are, you know, the good old days. Whether they were good or not, that's up for debate. We're not going to talk about that now.
But,
and that kind of feeds right into that vein where if, you know, we had our America, you could still beat your kids.
No, wrong.
I don't know.
No, because I don't agree with that statement. I don't agree with that statement.
I agree that
kids need to have more respect for their parents.
I agree with that too.
And there has to be a more intelligent way of going about getting that respect than beating them.
Would you hit your kid?
No. I would yell at them. I also would find ways, like I said, with my wife's friend, using an action that teaches a child to learn how to write, to learn how to get
their
thoughts out.
It's a great punishment.
Ingenious. It's great. Ingenious. And I would work on getting
now doing
more constructive things like that.
Now, you do know there is a large portion of our country that would call that liberal pussification of America.
Yeah, and I know a couple of people that would think of that, and some of them have my last name because of that back-ass thinking. Okay, but you can't sit there and be on a pedestal and worry about what everybody is going to think about something that is generally you're doing farcical. You know, you can't worry about that. You have to do your act. You have to do what you feel true to yourself. And like I said, true to myself. Oh, I wish I could be, you know, yeah. And then if I go off and, like, you know, I talk about the school bus and this, that, and the other thing, that's fine. But if then I start to get into a mentality, oh, you got to grab a maraca and you got to hit and
whip. Maraca?
No, a rock.
You have to say maraca.
Well, if you're in the Spanish household. But if you got to.
You know, we might as well create some music while you're whooping,
you know,
some ass.
Certain ethnic groups have their way. But to sit there and go, oh, you got to beat the child. It's a barbaric thought. It's a Neanderthal thought. And it's an ignorant thought.
My best friend Elias, Middle Eastern family. Christian, but Middle Eastern family and Greek. Middle Eastern and Greek. The mom would grab a wooden spoon and whack all three of them. My friend and his two younger brothers. Whack all three of them. And then the funny thing is, an hour later, you'd see her feeding all three of them with the same spoon.
Because it was an old... It was the way it was done.
Or so,
old school.
She would get so frustrated, she would, like, grab her flip-flop and start... So, they would actually taunt her.
Now, are you still friends with him? Or
he's my best friend.
Do they have kids?
My friend?
Yeah. Okay. How is his feeling? Would he ever do that to his kids?
You know, it's never come up. I got to be honest. I'd like to think not.
I would like to think not too. But I would like to think that due to his experience, he would figure out, hey, you know, I wouldn't do that. You know, I wouldn't do.
But I think there's a lot of people go, well, you know, I'm a good person and it worked for me and my parents did this and they were good parents and look how I turned out. And, you know, I think there's a lot of, I think at some point we have to break the chain of violence.
Yes. And you have to figure it out as you go, well, I want my child disciplined, but the way it was done to me was wrong. But nonetheless, the child needs to learn respect.
Well,
I've
heard a lot of people coming to Adrian Peterson's defense, just to bring it back to that, going, well, this is, you know, it's a cultural thing, and I would do this, and this is what's done with us, and, you know, this is the way we do it. And they're not apologetic to it. They don't feel bad about it. It's just the way they look at child rearing.
In that certain cultural thing in child rearing, that's where, you know, that's how it's looked at.
Well, then I think what we have to do, to bring it back to the top and then we'll move on.
Right.
I think what we have to do, since you can't beat animals, as Lisa brought up, you can't hit your spouse, you can't hit a stranger, we need to make it illegal to use an object to hit a child.
You need to find an object to hit a child?
We need to make it illegal. Where it's a crime if you hit your child with an object, whether it be a switch, a belt, a spoon. You know what? You want to leave spankings in there? You can, you know, where you're still allowed to spank your child. I'm not a fan of it. Some parents are.
Now let's discuss. Now on that, this is out of a place of ignorance.
How many conversations have we had with that?
Not an ignorance where I think it's right and I'd hit my young.
No, I'm familiar with your ignorance.
It's coming out of a place where I thought there would be more laws in place against that.
Well, that's what there's not. There's not. It's not illegal to hit your child. Now, it's illegal to kill your child or cause serious harm. Then it might be assault. But no, I mean, he's not arrested.
I think it's certain communities or certain... towns or, you know, parts of the country.
Listen, I'm sure there's local statutes.
There's a local statute.
But there's enough where it's not. Mm. It's not, you know, like I said, it goes on in the South. It goes on in the North, too. I'm not just going to blame the South. It goes on all over the country.
Yeah. So, now, if the kid was 13 and he got a whack in the ass or
kid's
something like
13,
that.
13 is going to take you out.
Yeah, right. But, you know, when it gets to the 13, maybe you could go, all right, it's on the situation. But in that situation... And it's just such a touchy matter on what is correct and what is not. What he did was run these are little kids. They're babies. They're 4 years old.
It's just crazy.
What are you doing?
I just can't comprehend. And I was listening to Boomer Esiason this morning, and he had a good point. He goes, you know, you just got to listen. As a parent, you get really frustrated. Trust me, I get that. He goes, but you got to take a time out. You have to take a time out. Leave the room. remove yourself from the situation, and, you know, just be so happy that you have them in your life. Just think about that before you administer the quote-unquote discipline you're going to administer. I think that's a wise words from the former Cincinnati Bengals quarterback.
Yeah. And it was like, and Lisa writes, it's assault with every other portion of society, which is true, which is, Lisa, that's one of the things where I was ignorant to the fact that there's not really more laws on the books against that.
No, there's not.
You know, and it's just an amazing thing. And just the way every portion of the country handles laws, you know, you probably see, you know, more in the north that there would be more,
you know,
laws
I,
on that,
you know,
than down south and...
I probably should have looked it up. I didn't even, you know, I didn't even know I was going to talk about this tonight, but I just put something on my Facebook page about this, and it got a lot of reaction. So I was like, you know,
well,
I'll throw it out there.
There's a little, you know, there's a lot of reaction to have about it. Also on the law side, now I mean, in school, if a child got a mark on it, where did you get that mark? And they'll call the parents and find
But that's just it. The teachers, people look back fondly. I'm not fondly that they were happy to receive it, but, you know, the teachers have lost control. They used to be able to hit the kids. That's not good either. That's not good either. You don't want school to be a place of fear.
Yeah.
I mean, you want it to be a place of discipline, but you don't want it to be a place of fear. Mm. There's got to be a better way. You should not. It says a lot about a society where we think the best way to communicate what we perceive to be the right behavior is by violence. It says a lot, and it says a lot of negative things about that society.
Well, it also has to be more of, you know, when kids act out in class, because I don't, you know, I think parents are scared to discipline their children where it might be perceived as violence, mental violence or whatever.
I think parents are afraid to discipline their kids because they don't want the authorities called.
Well, that's the thing, and you're raising a society of children that are not shown respect, but I'm not saying you need to hit them. There has to be a way to discipline them and show them respect without violence.
At least in raising my daughter, for whatever that worth, you know, you could debate whether I'm a good dad or not. Maybe I suck. I don't know. But I think we've instilled with her, and it's so much where it's not even necessary on her part, the fear of disappointment. Mm-hmm. And my wife had that with her dad. Like, the worst thing you wanted to do was disappoint your
right.
dad.
Now, I want to point something out that you said. The fear of. We were raised, when we were kids, of the fear of violence to discipline us.
Mm-hmm.
Kids should be raised in the fear of, nowadays, not watching TV, not playing with their friends, not having a play date, not having to write 5 paragraphs on why they acted out.
Well, we've all heard this, and then we're going to move on with this. We've all heard the long same lines of comment. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have timeout. We had knocked out. Think about that. We're talking about, I know it's an exaggeration and a farce degree, but we're talking about rendering a child unconscious.
It's, I know, but it's an act out, a farce, and something you can commiserate. If the comic turned around and said, oh, well, instead of a timeout, I would give the kid a knockout. You're changing that whole present. If it was phrased that way, that's
but
wrong.
But then they talk about, like, a kid misbehaving in a supermarket and, oh, you know, waxing again poetically where you could just smack the kid.
Because do you know how many times I've been in a supermarket? And I was in the supermarket last month where this kid was screaming, and I just was losing my temper. Not where I was going to hit the kid. But
you're going to hit the parent.
I was not even, just yell at the parent, go, what kind of a parent, you're letting this kid scream? What's the matter? With you, don't you learn your kid? I didn't say anything,
right.
You know. But it, you know, and take that feeling that I had. You can't do that. You normally people won't. But when you get to the comedy club and you go, boy, I like to knock out parents. But oh, Jesus Christ! And you laugh because I was in Stop and Shop last week, and I could tell you, I'd like to knock that son of a bitch on his ass. You know, you get feelings out in a comedy club. It's like watching a movie. You know, where you'd like to drive in a car and jump over a drawbridge and stuff like that. A comedian brings out, it's like sitcoms, where sitcoms bring out farcical situations that you could laugh at. Bring that out on stage.
I just think it's something to be mindful of, the reaction. I think I just think it's very telling how people react.
Well, what's going to happen is you're going to get a reaction after the show where people come up, oh, they used to beat me, but I agree it shouldn't beat the kids. And then you'll have the Yahoo, oh, man, I knocked my kid across the wall last week. That's when
And how many comics are going, you know, I really don't think you should hit children. I mean, most comics are just going to laugh. Even if they disagree
with
you. Not
the kid. He's probably going to punch you.
You're not going to say anything. You're going to smile politely, and I get that. You don't want to get involved.
But you want to know something.
You want to sell your CD.
Okay, it's like when people come up and tell you racist jokes stuff like that. All right,
it's the same thing.
Yeah, you're not. But if as long as they're not going to the management, going, I don't like what he said. Yeah, fine. Everybody's got their own opinion. It's fine.
Well,
you know?
Trucker Tom, and then we're going to move on. This is moving on. Trucker Tom created two memes with our girls.
They're good.
Runway models for the Stevie Wonder clothing line. And the second one is let's guess who was absent on Weave Day in Ghana, except he didn't spell Ghana right. But that's all right. Let's guess who was absent on Weave Day in Ghana. So there you go, Trucker Tom with two good memes. If you think you can beat that, or even if you don't think you can beat it, create your meme. Somebody's going to get a CD. Joe, what's going on with you?
My buddy got married. One of my closest friends got married.
Mazel tov.
And it was on Saturday, and Saturday was a cold, rainy, dreary day. And
when anybody should get married.
Yeah. But it was, and we were all getting wet. But my buddy Mike, I love the man to death. This wedding, it had to be this way. You know, it was really nice though. We had a good time. Saw a lot of my old friends and stuff like that. We drank our tail off, but I got wet. I mean, I'm
you do that every weekend, Joe. The location just changed.
I know, but I went into the one tent where they had the food, and there was no light in the food. You know, there was no light in the food tent. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm eating gravel or whatever. And I, and then I'm like, I go, this is like the FEMA tent. But you know, it was a nice time. It was nice to see a lot of the old friends and stuff like that.
Cool.
You know, then I stopped by the compound and had a couple of tequila sunrises. And at about 6:30, I'm like, and furthermore.
You put the sunrise in tequila sunrise.
Oh, God. And I fell asleep.
Well, it's not a night at the compound unless it's a morning at the compound.
Yes, that's correct.
That is correct.
No, that was pretty much a nice, cool, simple weekend. How about you?
What did I do? I coached my kid. Coached her in the rain. Actually, she didn't even go. She wasn't feeling well. So I was coaching other people's kids. I am so terrible with names.
Right, right.
With the kid's name, so I gave him nicknames. Like the one kid, because I told her like the proper position to field a ground ball, mm-hmm. and she kind of looked like a frog. I'm like, you look like a frog. She's like, I feel like a frog. I go, okay, you're Kermit. And then the head coach's daughter was obviously was vomiting all morning.
Right.
So I'm glad that she was brought to practice. So I go, all right, you're puke. But I really need to. And that's her nickname.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you feel it's right to give these kids nicknames?
Yeah, because I won't remember by the next practice.
But wait, will they?
But it wasn't done in a mocking way. Like they, like if they said, "I don't want to be called puke," I wouldn't stop. But they were laughing and everything. Yeah, you don't want to give a kid something that's going to scar him.
Okay,
but yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. But let's be honest, I can't remember these kids' names. I suck at that.
So you give them nicknames?
Yeah, because at least that way I'm singling them out for attention.
You're like Walter Matthau in the Bad News Bears.
Yeah, except I'm sober.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, you know, that's that. All right, let's let's take our first break. On the break, you know what I'm going to do, Joe? What I'm going to do? I'm going to play a track from the soon-to-be-released Davin's Den Best of CD. I'm going to play track four commercials. That's one of the many tracks on there. We're going to do that on the break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a Hasidic Jew gone rogue, a teen in Pennsylvania taking a picture of himself, getting oral treats from a statue of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday on extremejams.com. That's extremejamz.com. WKAD Radio, Wicked, Clutch and Wiggle, CyanetRadio.com, TalkSuperStation.com, The Juggernaut, MacDaddyRadio.com, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, Davinsden.com. TheIndieAuthority.com also has apps so you can listen live on all mobile platforms, including BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. If you miss Tuesday night's show, you can download the show at any time on DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, PodAlmighty.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm. Scammer clips are available on iHeart or DavinsDen.com. iHeart can only